Confessions of a Trainwreck. 30, flirty, and surviving. It's easy to speak out of the way I live, but it's a 24-carat dream. No supermodel in my dirty jeans, but in my 24-inch heels. Commandment number 178. Thou shalt remember that the heaviest thing in life anyone will ever carry is a mental load. Point of view. It's 5:10 a.m. and your alarm goes off. You stumble down to the bathroom, throw on your gym clothes and get in the car for F45. You get home with just enough time to throw on a quick load of washing before jumping in the shower and washing your hair. While eating breakfast, you also unstack the dishwasher and clean the kitchen before heading back to the bathroom to blow dry your hair, put on your makeup, and head to the bus stop via the bin room to take out the recycling because, it's bin day. After tackling your inbox, smashing your to-do list, and sitting through several meetings that could very well have been emails, it's time to head home via the grocery store to pick up the mince for the tacos. When you get home, you hang out the washing from this morning and start prepping dinner. After you've eaten and cleaned the kitchen, it's time to open your laptop. You've got to book the doctor's appointment, email your landlord about the broken clothes dryer, and start trawling online shops for a present for your mum's birthday. When you spell it out like that, that sounds ridiculously exhausting. But this is called carrying the mental load, and it's something so many women, particularly mothers, are faced with every single day. You all know that when I'm struggling with something, I don't turn to a therapist, although I know how much I probably should. I turn to my friends. And this week, I turn to my gal pal, Danny Rogers, a fellow podcaster, mother of two, an absolute slay queen, to talk about our own experiences with carrying the mental load. I just have to say up front that Danny honestly is such a superhero, and if you want to hear a little bit more about her, I've popped the link to her podcast and her Instagram in this week's show notes. All right. Well, welcome back to the podcast, Danny. It has been a hot minute.
Oh my God, hasn't it? I can't even, God, what, three years? No, 2.5.
I just wrote this down because it has been that long since you were last on the show. You've started your own podcast. You've had a baby who is now not even a baby anymore. And you've had like a complete career change.
Yeah, look, I haven't been doing much. So I'm glad that I got to come on here and just not do anything on here. That makes me sound like I've, accomplished a lot. Thank you. What an intro.
You truly, truly, truly have.
Oh, God. Yes. Well, you know, I guess it's just one of those things, right? You just, time flies when you're having fun.
That's it. And when you're drinking sparkling wine with ice cubes in it, and if anybody is actually an OG listener who remembers that, then you are train wreck of the year.
I'm actually very disappointed in myself that I do not have one sitting next to me right now.
Me too. I have sparkling water because I just came from a lunch and I had two drinks at the lunch. But I have to say, this is also the segue into the episode, that when I saw you last week and we went to that gin launch, we had two drinks. Mm. I was tanked when I got home. I was so drunk that Damon was like, did you just go out and have like the biggest night of your life? And I was like, I literally had two drinks. Like, I'm such a lightweight these days that is all it takes.
Admittingly, I'm quite sure those two drinks would have had like at least six shots for sure. Yeah. They were basically in fish bowls. So
exactly.
Yeah, completely.
They were
fine.
Goblets. They were not cups.
Absolutely. That's how we need to drink gin going forward, out of goblets.
They were delicious nonetheless.
They were.
And when we were in the Uber on the way home after that event, we were just having a bit of a chat about life and some of the mental load that we are currently under. And when I say you, I'm also, sorry, when I say we, I'm also mean you, because in addition to having a, how old's your daughter now?
She's nine.
You have a nine-year-old Crazy. Daughter. You have a baby.
I mean, he's 20 months and he seems to think that he's about five. So yeah, he's a toddler.
I mean, nonetheless, probably arguably needier than a baby.
Absolutely. Yes. Lots of feelings from him.
And you also have a husband in a moon boot who is on this little like wheelie contraption because he can't walk.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty hot. he calls it a wheelie nearly. I basically have three kids. I have three kids and they're beautiful.
Amazing.
But they're exhausting.
In addition to running the house, working, earning money, having a social life, trying to drink enough water, trying to figure out what your headaches are from.
Trying to have two glasses of gin that really knocked me out my ass. That also, absolutely.
So we got to talking for a little bit about the mental load, which is kind of a point of discussion that I've wanted to have for a while now. And I think that this is probably the right space to do it in, because I used to put the mental load down to the fact that I have always suffered from anxiety. So I just thought that all of those things that were constantly going through my head were because I was a highly anxious person, until I moved in with my partner a couple of years ago and I started to kind of see, and I'm not shitting on my partner here. This episode is not about coming on here and just absolutely ragging on men and saying that they did not contribute, because they definitely do. But for the most part, as I began to kind of vent some of my frustrations about perhaps not even just the housework not being completely even, but little things like remembering we have to get a birthday present to take to your mum's birthday on the weekend, and remember, you know, little things like that. And when I started to
even remembering mum's birthday,
and when I
like, you've got to remember that as
and
well.
And when I started to kind of discuss this with some of my girlfriends, they were like, oh my God, right? We have to do everything and it is so exhausting, and they don't understand. And then I realized it's a thing. And when you Google the mental load, there is actually books written about it. There's journal articles about it. There's like blogs about it. There is so much about it out there. And I wanted to talk to you about this because as a mum, I feel like I can't even complain comparatively to the mental load that mothers would have, let alone to what you're currently going through, basically solo parenting.
I mean, I think though, even with our kids, it's a lot. And as soon as you start to, I guess, share your life with someone, whether that's a child or whether that's a partner, it exacerbates whatever that pressure is, because you're not just thinking about yourself. You're inherently just thinking constantly for someone else as well. And again, like, I'm exactly like you, you know, Damon and Dan are such beautiful humans and they're great partners. And this isn't really about them. I mean, to an extent. But
please turn it off.
Be better. but it is like you, it's just, we have this nature that takes over and we just have to be the caregiver. And for those of us who have anxiety or get anxious, we have to be in control. And that just makes it so much worse.
Yeah. And I would arguably say it gets worse, obviously, when someone else enters your life, because when it's your own shit and you drop the ball, you're like, oh, I have no one to blame for myself. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not looking to, there's no one else involved in the situation except for me. But when there's somebody else involved, it's like you just said, it's almost like an intrinsic need.
Yes. Yes, it is. And it's one of those things too. You just take on that burden. Nobody asks you to. You just all of a sudden go, okay, well, I'm now responsible for absolutely everything. Mm. And I feel like, again, no disrespect to dudes, but they don't foreplan things like we do. You know, they don't have that foresight to be like, okay, mum's birthday is next week. That means I have to get a present now because I'm working all week or whatever the case is. Like, they don't strategically plan everything. And I mean, how stunning for them. Like, I love that for them, but I hate it for me.
Likewise. So I remember when I was growing up, if I had a dollar for every time I heard my mum say, I have so much on my plate. And at the time I was like, you know, a naive little school kid. And I was like, my mum was a teacher at the time too. So I was like, you only go to work the same time I go to school, and you only drive me to school because it's on the way to your work. And I remember then as I grew up and, you know, you kind of progress and then you turn like 25 and you're like, how did my mum do it? And you call her and you're like, mum, I love you so much. Thank you for everything.
I am so sorry for being me growing up. I'm so sorry for doing that to you. Yeah. 1,000%. And it's funny because I feel like, you know, we're getting deep here, but their generation, they just do it. They just did it and it was just what they did. And they started to transition to actually working and then being moms and doing all of it without any help. And then we're getting to our generation and we're starting to call out the bullshit and be like, excuse me, this is bullshit and I am one person and I cannot think for everybody.
Absolutely.
It's hard. It's so hard.
And I think furthermore to that, it's kind of like the traditional gender roles are absolutely not what they used to be. So, you know, in times gone by, we all know that it might have even happened, probably not even so much with my parents because my mum always worked, but maybe like our grandparents, for example. I don't think my grandma worked. She looked after her four children. When I say she didn't work, she didn't have a, you know, like a professional job. She had three children. She looked after the house. They, you know, she did all that stuff. And my grandfather was the one who went out to earn the money. And I feel like back then, the traditional gender role, obviously, as we all know, the man went out to earn the money and the woman, you know, kept the house, kept the kids. But that is still a job. It is just, you know what they call it? Unpaid labor. And you're like, I am working longer hours than 9 to 5. It is way more stressful than 9 to 5. The consequences of not doing these, not meeting these deadlines are way more consequential than a 9 to 5. But you're just not paid for those hours.
And to be completely honest with you, I would like to speak to a manager because I have had no sick leave, even when I'm sick. I don't get annual leave. And when I go on holidays, it's not a fucking holiday. Apologies for swearing, but it's not a holiday. Like it's just, it's mumming on tour. It's like a different location. If anything, it's harder. And like it is, it's relentless. It is not like a 9 to 5. And I feel like we're in this really weird space because we're like, oh, mums can do it all. Like, get it, girl. You know, mum power. You're a superhuman. You're amazing. And we're just like, no, we're tired. We're tired and that's why we drink a lot of gin. A lot of gin.
On school nights.
On school nights. I'm not quite sure who we think we are doing that because it will take us 3 weeks to recover, but we do
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. We do it anyway.
We YOLO.
YOLO. And the thing that has also changed drastically in the last couple of generations is that we are now working harder than we ever have before. Mm. We are little hustlers. And when I say working harder than we ever have before, I'm like using myself as an example. I have a full-time 9 to 5. I've had a podcast on the side for 4 years. I was teaching group fitness there for a point. Sometimes I do some freelancing things. Like there is a lot going on. I'm studying. I'm finishing that up in 3 weeks. So it's like constant. And then when you're trying to also factor in socializing, I go to the gym every single day. You know, the washing needs to be done. I train every day. That's a shit ton of washing. There's so much that needs to be done. The one thing I do not do is cook dinner. But we eat Muscle Chef, so technically no one cooks dinner.
The Muscle Chefs cook dinner. That's true. And kudos to them. Kudos to them. but honestly, it is though. It's so busy. And you look at it like that and that's just we've been taught to understand that that is thriving, right? Like, oh my God, you've got so much going on.
The battle of the busies.
Oh my God. And we glorify it. We glorify being busy because we have this, I don't know, sense of failure or disappointment if we're resting or if we're not hustling or if we're not achieving. You know, it's even like when mums go on maternity leave now, it's, but you can start a side hustle. I'm trying to keep a human alive. My boobs are out 24/7. You'll be lucky if I've got pants on. How am I going to start a business? Who's going to buy from me? No one. I am terrifying right now. Terrifying. So even my children, let alone the general public. Like it's a lot. It's a lot.
It is a lot. It's a lot. Have you ever had this conversation with your partner about it? I'm just intrigued to know.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So
because the thing that they say is when you Google like the mental load and you then Google like how to lighten the mental load, the first thing it will say is you shouldn't have to ask your partner for help. They should offer help. But we all know that that is not always the way that life goes. And sometimes when you enter into these conversations, which are merely just you pointing out a fact, they get very, very defensive.
How very dare you point out the things that I need to do to fix my own life when you could do them for me? No, Dan is actually very receptive to these conversations. you know, he's very conscious that when I sit him down to have a discussion with him, he's like, okay, like there's something going on here. But I think it comes back to that foresight piece, because again, like I'll say to him, okay, I need help. I'm drowning here. And he'll be like, what do you want me to do? But then it comes back to the fact that I have to then prepare a list of things for you to do. And then I have to check in on that list and make sure that you've done it. And then have you actually done it properly? And then it's like in my head, I'm like, oh, well, fuck it. I'll do it myself because it's just easier. Because either way, there's a burden. And I don't know, maybe that's part of letting go and just seeing how things go. But again, like it's a really hard balance. Hey, do you guys talk about it?
Well, again, I was just going to quickly say that is why managers get paid more than executives, because as a manager, you are not only trying to manage your own workload, you're also managing someone else's workload, approving their work, signing it off. If they haven't done it properly, they don't wear the consequences. You do. So you just do it again, but you do it better. Mm-hmm. Yes, we definitely have. And I think it was a little bit different for us in that we moved in together, and then very soon after, I was stood down, as was majority of Australia, thanks to COVID. And so I was spending a lot more time at home, and I was basically surviving on JobKeeper. So I kind of had nothing to do except chores all day. Mm. So I'd work for 3 hours in the morning, and then I'd, you know, do the floors. I'd basically clean. And I feel like that was going on for so many months that it almost just became a routine and a habit that I kind of never let go. And I think it's definitely not Damon's fault, but I do wash my clothes more than him because I go to the gym every day. So I'm, you know, I've got sweaty clothes. If you just leave them there, they're going to stink. There's a lot more stuff that I just do. I'm very OCD about the kitchen. So if there's crumbs on the counter or if there's like dirty stuff sitting above the sink, I cannot handle it. And I do not like conflict. So I'd rather just keep my mouth shut and do something myself. But that can only get you to a point, because then you explode. Yeah. And that is not good for anybody involved.
And then you explode in the most dramatic way possible. And it's a conversation that goes, you never put the dishes away. And he's like, oh my God, it's just the dishes. But it's not. It's not. It's been the dishes for like 4 weeks straight. And it's been the washing, and it's been all the other things. And it's been like the mental pressure as well. And then you just combust and everyone thinks you're crazy. And then you have to put Adele on in the shower and cry it out. And it's a... And then just repeat every, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. It's basically it's a methodology.
Cycle.
It is.
It is definitely cyclical. I know. It's like a bottle of champagne. You know, when that lid comes off, my God, the bubbles come out. It just explodes everywhere. You're like, do you even love me? And it brings up everything in your life that is wrong. Oh. And I think it's a combination also of like fatigue and exhaustion, stress from work. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're having problems with your friends or your family or like something, it all kind of stews and bubbles, I think, in that resentment.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is. You just combust because it's all these little feelings that you've pushed down and nobody's wooing. When that bottle pops, nobody's doing a woo. They're literally just, there's a lot of anger, and it usually gets directed at one person because that's your safe space. And that's probably where a lot of the problems lie. Respectfully, love you guys, but yeah, be better. Be better.
It's very true. Although I'm pretty lucky in that I think my tactic was, for a while, I would just tell him every time I did something. So it was like daily.
Oh my God.
He'd get home from work and I'd be like, all the washing's done, folded, put away. I did the dishwasher twice. I did this and I did this. And then the next night I'd say it again and then again and then again. And then I started coming home and the washing was folded and on the bed.
Oh my God.
So it was like a, you know?
Wow. You should write a book.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that is a great tactic.
It's going to be called Lightening the Mental Load.
Oh, and it's got one chapter only, and that's the advice. Just repeatedly drill it into them, everything that you do. I might do that too with the kids. Just be
try
like,
it.
I'm changing a nappy. I'm washing the poo off my finger. I am, you know, putting the kids in the bath. I'm drying them. Like, it would get old very quickly. I think he'd probably do it just to shut me up.
How are you working at the moment with kids and a husband who's out of action?
I feel like I'm possibly on the verge of a mental breakdown, just quietly. But I feel like it's one of those things we just do it, right? Like you just do what you have to do and you just get on that little rat wheel and you keep on pedaling. And I guarantee you when Dan, because he's ruptured his Achilles, you know, he doesn't just casually pop himself in a brace and wheel around the house. It's an actual issue. But I think when he is back in action, I will be like, I need to go to a hotel for a weekend and just lock myself in a room and order room service and watch Netflix and just be away from all of you. Love you.
So wonderful.
Love you. But yeah, probably. But I don't know. You just do it, right? Like we're amazing. We are superhumans. We're tired, but we're superhumans.
Again, it's why we drink gin. It's why we wear so much tequila.
1,000%.
What?
Yeah. Although when I'm sitting here, you're like, you look really cute. And I'm like, this is a lot. I'm actually, you do record the video, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
I don't have to always do anything with them because you know who has to edit them? Damon.
Oh. He's like, you're talking shit about me.
Yeah, so Damon. I definitely won't ask him to edit this one.
Damon, put a Valencia filter on this.
No, I think you're just referring to my winged eyeliner. I actually put it on my Instagram story this morning because I have been, this is a major segue, also the mental load of not being able to apply makeup properly, but I have been trying to master a winged eyeliner since I started wearing makeup at 18. I'm 32 years old and today is the first day that I've really, really achieved something I've been striving for so many years.
I am so proud of you because it looks amazing.
It's another thing I say to Damon when I think I have a good winger come out. I'm like, look at my wing. He's like, it looks the same as it did last weekend.
Okay, well, first of all, nobody asked for your negativity, Damon. So maybe turn around, come back with a better attitude because it looks fantastic.
Actually, no, you know the first time I did it when I lived with him, he actually helped me fix it up.
Oh my God, you talked about that on the podcast, didn't you? Yeah, I remember
he was
that.
Like, come here, shut your eyes. I've got a really steady hand. I'm really good at art, which he is. So that was like really helpful.
Angel. Love angel. That from him.
Absolute angel.
Okay, so back to, I guess, your question before, though, around communicating it. I do think that the first step is to actually communicate it because one of the things that we do, particularly as mums, because we just automatically fall into this like caregiver role and then over time, your husband or your partner just slips into that as well because you're already looking after everybody else, trying to keep everybody alive. And I feel like that verbalizing it is super important because they need to know if you're struggling and they need to know exactly what with. And I joked before about, you know, having to make lists, but sometimes it can be an outsourcing of those responsibilities that you don't have to manage so tightly. And it could be like for us, for example, normally I cook and Dan will clean the kitchen and that's just how we operate. But it could be those little things like, I don't know, you know, you have to make doctor's appointments for the kids. All right, you make that phone call, not me. And then it's like one less thing that you have to worry about because majority of partners don't want to see you struggle and they don't want to force that load on you. It's just, it's a bad combination of us feeling the need to just do everything all the time.
Yeah, and that's something that I really think is important to drive home. It's not that they're doing it intentionally.
No.
And that is not by any means what I want to convey in this conversation. It's purely just that as women, it's something that we feel a compulsion, I think, to do and to manage and to try and be on top of everything. And I really like your point about communication because I feel like the only way that we can stop ourselves from combusting like a bottle of non-alcoholic champagne, because no one wants to actually open a bottle of non-alcoholic champagne, is to talk about it before you combust and to talk about it when you're calm. And there is nothing wrong with having a conversation with your partner and saying, hey, I'm just feeling a little bit overwhelmed with, you know, everything going on at the moment. And it could be that you're having a bigger work week than you normally would. You have your period. Again, we shouldn't have to do anything that week. It's 1 week a month. We shouldn't even have to go to work. I think it's just having a conversation. And also, I really also like your point about splitting up the chores. And I feel like everybody has a tendency to migrate towards something. So for me, I think the washing is a big thing that I always do consistently because of the amount of washing that I have to do. So it's kind of like every third or fourth day I'll be, you know, doing a load of washing. I mean, that probably sounds like a holiday to you because you have kids. You're probably doing multiple loads a day. But I think it is also having that upfront conversation about Almost like when you lived in a share house and you'd have like a cleaning roster. I feel like that's actually a fair thing to do that will just stop the fights from happening in the first place.
I even think you're onto something with the verbalizing, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, or this is what I've done. Like, go over a week and write down all of the stuff that you're doing and all of the stuff that needs to be done. And that can be the entry to your conversation, because I know sometimes you feel guilty in bringing it up and being like, well, you know, that particularly if you are like a stay-at-home mom or you're part-time, it can be really difficult to be like, well, you know, they're working, but so are you. It's just a different capacity. So if you sit down and go, this is all the stuff that has to happen around here, as well as X, Y, Z, then it's easier to break up. And Dan and I actually, ironically, had a conversation like this about a week ago. And because it is harder, he's a potato at the moment. He's a potato on wheels and he can't contribute much. He can't contribute much. And so I was like, okay, well, there are things that you can do that would help me, like mentally, you know, making these appointments or whatever. And it could be a matter of going, okay, each week we're going to look at our weeks. Just go, all right, well, you're really busy this week. So, you know, maybe I'll do 70% of things this week. And then next week I've got my period and I don't want to see anybody. So you'll take over the load. And that's, I think, a really key point with relationships with anything. It's not always 50-50, and we need to really diminish that idea, because sometimes it's 90-10. Like, sometimes you've got nothing to give, but then vice versa, you know, we have to be conscious of that.
Absolutely. And I think, again, to that same point, sometimes when you're probably similar to people like you and I, control freaks, and I said that with bunny ears, I like things to be done a certain way and I like them to be done fast. I do not have a lot of spare time. So I'm very regimented. I'm very fast. I'm, you know, fast at getting things done. And so when I do have these conversations with Damon, he'll say to me, but you didn't even give me a chance to do it because you just did it first. And I was like, you are right. Like, you are actually right. And I'm sorry, it's not the right word to say there, but I don't. So I feel like the first couple of times you have these conversations, it is really difficult and you probably will say it in a bit of a defensive way. Mm. But I find that, yeah, the more you continue to just be honest without cracking and without blowing, the easier it gets.
Absolutely. And it can be a matter of just going, okay, well, I'm feeling really overwhelmed today because I've done all of these things. I'm going to bring it up now. I'm not going to wait another 3 weeks and then literally spit out at you a diary of times and dates where I was pissed off at you and expect you to know exactly what I'm talking about. Because respectfully, they probably will not remember what happened last week when it came to you making a subtle comment about the laundry. Like, we have a tendency to be like, oh, guess I'll just do the laundry again. And they're like, okay, cool, thanks. Like, sometimes you have to just be really
black and white.
Yeah.
Just spell it out. I know. We'll be like, remember on November 3rd when I was doing the washing and you were sitting there watching Rick and Morty?
What? I gave you a really filthy look. You should have known exactly what was going on.
But also, if there are any, and I don't want to just gender stereotype and say it's men, but if there are any partners out there listening who are maybe like clicking and realizing that, oh, wow, my partner does a lot. Firstly, help. And secondly, acknowledge it.
Yes.
I feel like a little thank you actually goes a super long way. And then it stops psychopaths from being like, hey, how was your day? Oh, yeah, I went to work and then I came home and did 3 loads of washing. I unstacked the dishwasher. I, you know, bought your mum's birthday present, X, Y, Z. And then it's going to be awkward for the rest of the night and you've ruined the night.
Yeah. And there's nothing that you can do at that point to make it better because I needed you to notice before I told you to notice. So, and I do that. I will literally wait for him to be like, oh my God, the house looks amazing. And then I just get more annoyed as I watch as he's just going about his business and not giving me a one sentence compliment. And then I'm like, oh, isn't the house looking great? And he's like, oh, yeah, it looks great. I'm like, thanks. Good.
Good. It's too far gone. So okay. what I'm taking away from this conversation is you and I need to move in together.
You and I need to go to therapy. I think we've established that.
And then Damon can play the guitar while Dan scoots around the house. It's a vision. Oh, it's a real vision.
Actually going to put a plan into place after we get off the phone for this. But I think it is, it's so important to talk about it because there are so many of us sitting at home feeling like crazy people or like being like, oh, I'm the only one in this position. You know, you get on social media and you're like, oh, this person's husband like does the ironing or what, like whatever. We're just constantly comparing ourselves. And I think we just need to be more open in saying that no one has their shit together. No one has it perfect at home. And it's all like a work in progress. And your needs and wants and all of those kind of things that you require from each other evolve as time goes on. So it's never perfect, ever.
No. And I also think that maybe love languages could play into it a little bit in that I think that acts of service is so common in women. Mm-hmm. And because the way that you obviously give love is the way that you like to receive love, but it's ironic that in a relationship you generally do not end up with somebody who has the same love language as you, which makes everything fundamentally that much harder because when you think you are showing them how much you love them by washing and folding their underpants, that to them is like nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
1,000%.
And then in the same vein, when, you know, they take my car out and it is a tip in there, vacuums it, cleans it, gets it detailed, I'm like, meh. And he's like, wow, that was 4 hours and $80.
And you were like, I thought you went to Tiffany's. So this is...
this ring
this is, awkward. This yeah.
is still bare.
Why am I doing wife duties at a girlfriend level? Tell me, Damon. Tell me.
That is profound.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I had it on TikTok. But feel free to quote me and I will copyright it. But it is like it's I think it's being aware of it. And ironically, it's so ironic that you said that because I most recently sent that quiz to Dan, including my results. Has he done it? No. I actually can't even remember a lot of them. Acts of service was big, and physical touch was big. And what's the one, like praise, like
words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation. Yeah. So they were like my key ones. Yeah.
I love that. My key ones are definitely physical touch. I'm a leech.
Yeah. I love that though. You're a cute leech. And you've got good. I think leech with winged eyeliner.
I'm a sassy leech. This is 100% not where I thought it was going. And you know what? I'm not mad about it. But with that said...
Samesies.
Now that we've likened ourselves to slugs, I think we should probably wrap it up there. But what is the one piece of advice you would give to any woman or any man listening for that matter who is struggling under the mental load?
Look, I think the main thing is acknowledging that it's probably quite normal, particularly as you get older and we have a lot more responsibilities and pressures. The key is to not be hard on yourself because I feel like a lot of the pressure that we put on ourselves comes from us. You know, we have these expectations that are sometimes really unrealistic. So just go easy on yourself and communicate. And, you know, maybe you don't have a partner at home. Maybe it's just you and maybe you're a single parent or maybe you're in a relationship where you can't get that support. But you need to communicate with someone, whether that's a therapist or your partner or friends or whatever. You need to lighten the load for yourself because when you keep it all inside, it is just going to combust and it's not going to be a woo time. And nobody wants to pop a bottle of champagne without a woo.
My piece of advice, I'm going to roll off the back of that. Communication is key so that you don't pop like champagne unnecessarily. You just stay still like a nice savvy bee, even though I prefer sparkling.
Oh, that's just sponsored by Dan Murphy's.